the worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best or funny.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I'm your host.
You're the toothless wonder is what
well,
you are.
Well, get ready for that story.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. You can't even talk.
I can't talk.
I'm Christine Lakin.
That's Christine Lakin, but I'm your host, Alaa Khaled. Khalid.
I think you should go with Khalid.
I can go with whatever the fuck I want.
Okay.
Okay, that's where I'm at these days.
Wow. I have baby Baylor with us today, so if you hear some baby noises, just get over it, because I got one in the other room. I'm letting her watch Moana, otherwise known as Gawana, because she thinks it's Gawana. So she's watching Gawana. I'm trying to nurse and feed bottles to this one to keep him quiet. It's just, there's a lot going on, guys.
Not bottles to me, but Baylor.
Well, you're about to be. I'm going backwards.
I'm being bottle-feeded.
If this goes any longer, you're not going to have any teeth. Okay, let's talk about your tooth. Let's get a little bit caught up, and then we're going to introduce our guest. But there's a lot going wrong in your life. Let's talk about your tooth.
So I had a rough and tumble accident doing my laundry.
This was 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Okay.
On a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've sort of blocked it out. In fact, the laundry's still sitting in my...
Still?
I came and look at it.
You got to get over this. I know it's traumatizing.
On the staircase, anyways, I was doing my laundry as one does in a building where you have to go downstairs to the basement to do the laundry.
It's Koreatown.
It's K-Town.
Buildings are older.
Right? And I would take it somewhere, but I don't want to lose my parking space.
Oh, God.
So I'm carrying my laundry up, and the staircase has an extra inch of lip, and my toe tripped over the lip while I was holding the laundry basket. And I went to drop the laundry and grab the banister on the right. And it's like solid wood. And I'll have to take a picture of it, what it looks like. So my arm slipped over the banister and knocked my face into the top corner of the banister.
Ow.
Which knocked my tooth out. Because little did I know that my teeth are... I was having some sort of gum issues. And they were
about to pop out.
Well, they weren't about to pop out, but they were not like as...
They were chiclets.
No, they weren't chiclets, but they just weren't as strong as they should be.
Okay.
And it's knocked the other one up because it's sort of like a crack right here that's split.
Oh, my God.
So the other one is about to come out.
Now, I'm looking at him. This is the lower middle tooth, everyone.
Right.
So it's like jack-o'-lantern style.
Right, it's jack-o'-lantern.
Which was appropriate for Halloween.
Right. It was around Halloween.
Yeah, it was right before you had just gotten back from your long travels.
Right, because that's why I was doing my laundry.
Right.
Another travel
right.
to come up.
Right.
So I've been appraising dentists and stuff because it's like so expensive. Oh, get ready, guest. You wait to hear what I'm doing. And fans, I'm reaching out to you. I have started a GoFundMe. I know you're laughing now, but I'm not kidding. This shit's expensive and I can't afford it. And I need fucking teeth. I'm getting the first part of like the cleaning and the impressions done today,
right.
In which this second tooth will probably come out after they do the impression.
Because it's so loose.
She's going to try to bond it because I have to travel to New York, of course, on Tuesday.
Great. More political appearances?
No. I don't know what this is for. So they got to do an impression so they can make a partial.
Okay.
Then pull the rest of these out. And once I go back for the partials ready, like a week later, I'll get those pulled and then they'll do the partial. And then I got to either get a bridge or implants or whatever I'm doing.
Oh, my God.
But it's fucking expensive.
Yeah.
So I started a GoFundMe.
Okay.
And it's called GoFundMe.com.
Okay.
/ Alaa's New Grill. Alaa's. NEWGRILL.
Guys, any kind of donation helps.
A lot would help.
$1.
No, $1,000.
Okay, $5.
$10,000.
It all adds up.
But listen, go to GoFundMe.com/ Alaa's New Grill.
You are unbelievable.
Everyone thinks I'm joking, but listen to me. I want to raise like about $27,000.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Because I want to just get the whole bottom. I just want to do one beautiful bottom.
How many?
If I can get 52,000, huh? I'll do both.
Huh?
I'll just get them all done. I'll get new fucking grill.
Wait, like
hold on
all
a second.
New teeth? What are you talking about? Fake teeth?
Yeah, the implants.
For all your teeth?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Clear Choice. Anyone that works for Clear Choice and you want an advertisement, I'm happy to do it. Dentists out there, if you want to, I'll fly to you. And if you want to donate some teeth, listen to me. GoFundMe.com/Alaz new grill.
We got it. Listen, we'll plug it at the end.
If 27 people donate $1,000, I've made it. If 270 people donate, how much is that?
$100.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay.
Come on, guys. Come on, help me out.
But wait, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. How the $27,000, how many teeth? Is that four new teeth?
No.
On the bottom?
That will be a whole, they'll do these four rods with a full rack of like a new grill. Like
oh
it's
going
to be, it's amazing what they do now.
What happened to your mouth?
You tell me.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But apparently, because I went to the engagement party for my cousins with
waffles,
with all the waffles and the tam tams and the and the ham bones, and
oh
they were all
my
there.
God.
Yeah. And apparently,
this is the engagement party for the people that are just starting to date, but they're engaged.
Right, they're
Got
engaged.
It. Yeah.
So apparently, I was talking to my other cousins. They're like, "Oh yeah, we have the same issue. We had bridges done.
So it's
all
like
a hereditary genetic thing."
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I'm as purely scientific. How many of those cousins smoke? Does everybody smoke in your family?
Pretty much.
Do you think there's any correlation between smoking?
By the way, I've set a quit date.
You have to quit.
I said it.
You've smoked since I've known you.
I set a quit date.
What's your quit date?
I'm not telling you because then if I fail, but I have said it. Like, I'm not telling anyone it is, but I've said it and I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to smoke and then hopefully it'll last.
Did your dentist tell you that? Was she like, you have to stop smoking?
Listen, my dentist, I hate dentists. Like, I have to be... You know why I hate dentists? I had a very traumatic experience. No, I had a very traumatic experience. When I was a child, I had a cavity in my tooth and I was scared of needles. And this was the 70s. And the needles were like this.
Yeah,
and
huge.
I was like scared of needles. And I had to get a tooth pulled. And the dentists, the nurses, my dad were chasing me around the dentist office because I was not going to get the Novocaine shot. I was not. Finally, my dad said, forget it. Strap them down. And they pulled without Novocaine.
No.
Swear to God. So ever since that, I've always been scared of the dentist.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Now I feel bad. Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
It's trauma related.
It is very, that's super traumatic.
Yeah. So that happened. So then I went to the engagement.
Okay.
I saw Waffles.
Oh my God. Okay.
She couldn't even look me in the eye. I spoke to Tam Tam. Tam Tam and I are friends again. I told you, Tammy.
Yes.
So we can use her name now.
Oh, okay.
Tammy.
Okay.
I saw Olives, her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And Maraschino Cherry is her other daughter.
Okay. Their code names.
Yeah. They were great.
Yep.
Waffles was a complete bitch. Like, totally ignored me. I also think she's going through some sort of menopause thing, so she's, like, even angrier.
Okay.
And God bless her, because she's been through breast cancer, and I was very supportive of that. And she recently had, other things taken out as precautionary,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. But, you know, I thought for sure it'd be, like, we'd at least make eye contact, say hello, and then, like, have a conversation.
Well,
that didn't happen. Yeah. Ham bone didn't even look at me. By the way, I don't know what ham bone did to her hair, but it looks like fried, dyed, and dechemicalized.
Oh.
It is like straw.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what happened?
Well, I mean, you've been in a lot. You're in a lawsuit. You're definitely stressed.
She didn't look great. But otherwise, the engagement was over the top, crazy. I had diarrhea for 4 days. Stomach
what? Fire.
Oh, no. Missing tooth. Diarrhea for 4 days.
You are one step from being a homeless man.
Yeah. Stomach virus for 4 days.
No offense to homeless
men. And being in New Orleans and not able to go out was like Because you can't go in the quarter and have stomach issues.
No, you can't. I was there once for Mardi Gras, which is probably even worse because they really don't want you to use the bathrooms. And everyone's just peeing on the streets. And I think I bribed a security man to let me into like the Marriott or something. And then I have a picture with him because I was so happy that he let me pee.
Yeah, no. So when you have stomach issues, you don't want to hang out in the quarter.
No,
because that is not the place to go to the bathroom.
So you said you got on the trolley and then you were like, nope. And you had to, like,
I literally,
because
we're staying in the Garden District. So I literally got on the trolley and I was like excited my first night out. And then, you know, the gurgling.
Yep.
And then the chills.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh God. So I went back to the hotel room and not to be disgusting, but it was like water coming out of my ass.
This is not the first time you have said that on this podcast.
All right. Well,
you know, merry-go-round. I mean, I just Marriott Marquis, New York
City. Right, the Marriott Key, which yep. I stayed at last time I went to New York. I went to the state. I stayed at the Marriott Marquis.
Well, you know where the bathrooms are.
On the 8th floor, that's where
right.
the lobby is.
That's right. There you go. Oh, so that's my what's God. Been going
on. So again, it's GoFundMe.com okay. / Alaz New Grill. ALAASNEWGRILL. Start donating now.
Thank
and
you.
By the way, if someone donates like a $5,000 to $10,000 donation,
okay,
I will fly them out
to LA.
To LA, I'll probably put you up in a Motel 6 or something because I'm going to be using my miles to fly you out, so that's not going to be an issue. and we'll do an episode with you on the podcast.
You'll be a guest on the podcast.
Yeah. The largest, well, yeah.
I'm sure that's a huge incentive for someone.
I think so.
Okay. And we'll give you a hat.
And I'll give you my tooth.
Oh, that's gross. I don't, that just de-sold somebody there.
In a glass box.
All right. I want to get to our first guest today. She's been a friend of mine for a very long time. We've started, I guess we met doing some theater in LA together, but she's been on Broadway. She's worked the likes of Clint Eastwood.
Go ahead.
She is currently recurring on the new hilarious Single Parents.
On ABC.
Yes. You'll be seeing her very soon. We're going to talk all about it. Jackie Seiden, welcome to the podcast.
Hey guys, what's up?
Jackie
Seiden.
Jackie, what is Seiden? Like, what is that?
It's just Jewish.
Is it Jewish?
Oh yeah, some Jew in there. It doesn't seem like your typical, not like your Stein or your Greenberg, but it's Jewish.
How do you spell it?
S-E-I-D-E-N.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
the EI that makes it Jewish.
It's like Bernstein. EI.
Yeah. It's the EI.
Yeah. Right.
Did you grow up here or in New York?
Chicago.
Oh, you're a Chicago person.
I am.
I had family in Elgin.
And okay, yeah. I'm from Highland Park, which was the Jewish suburb.
Okay.
Jewish suburb.
Yeah. We were the Muslims in
yes,
Elgin.
Right.
And you guys are in.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. We know what's up.
Your first Broadway show was it Hairspray?
Actually, technically it wasn't Hairspray. I had done the Hairspray tour.
Okay.
First.
Got it.
So my Broadway debut was Good Vibrations.
Yes.
With the
Twyla Tharp.
No, that's a different show. That was the Bob Dylan show, The Times They Are Changing.
Yes, that's right.
Wait, Good Vibrations.
It was
like
the Beach Boys.
Yes,
yeah.
It was.
In Vegas?
No, it was New York's piece of turd show that, let me tell you, the saddest thing is opening a Broadway show and Titus Burgess was in it. They had this great cast. And we're all like, oh my God, it's our Broadway debut. We're doing it.
And you're thinking it's good.
Oh no, we know it's terrible.
Oh, okay.
But we're hoping that the music will carry us through.
Right.
And then you go and the house is packed. And it just got so much energy. And then you start going to work. And then you notice that the balcony is not quite filling up to the back. And then the balcony is only the first two rows of the balcony. And then it just moves down to the main floor.
Yeah.
And then you just see the audience just get smaller and smaller. And you know the doomsday is coming.
Well,
but it was the best experience
how
ever.
How long did it last?
3 months. Ben Brantley called it the Frankenstein of Broadway. It was kind of like a rite of passage.
Wait a minute. Three months isn't a bad run for a...
You know, I think they just bled money. The producers just let it. But yeah, I will say that it was so much fun, rite of passage. And I think the cast was wonderful. There was just a lot of drama before the show even went to rehearsals that like caused its demise early on.
Well, a lot of people don't understand that Broadway shows, it's not like, oh, let's do this show.
It takes years.
It takes years.
Sometimes almost
years.
A decade.
Yeah, yeah, sometimes 6 to 10 years is average for a Broadway show.
Yes, exactly.
Because
a quick is 5 years is like a quick, you've got a big name making it happen.
Because a lot of the directors are not available because they're doing other shows. And so they've like sort of like
scheduling. Out of town workshops.
Yeah, they got to do all the out of town workshops.
The rate, raising the money. Space.
Yes.
So it's weird because you would think that some of these shows could be dated
right.
by the time it gets on Broadway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they could be. So yeah. I think that's
Saw when I was in New York last and stayed at the Marriott Marquis where the bathroom's on the 8th floor.
It's good to know where they are, actually.
I saw that they're going to be opening up in March, which I'm kind of excited about.
What?
Tootsie, the musical.
Yeah, they are.
Oh.
Dustin Hoffman will be playing.
No, I would die. But I thought, oh, that might be interesting.
Oh, I think that actually would be really good. That would make a good one. I'm not so into like some of these that are, you know, become musicals, like old movies that become musicals. I'm like, really? Well, I don't know about that.
There's the Mean Girls of it all and the
But I heard that
Pretty
was
Woman.
Good.
Yes.
I've heard mixed reviews about Mean Girls.
Really?
Well, they're doing an all-female version of 12 Angry Men. That kind of thing will be interesting. Not a musical.
Right.
That would be even more interesting.
They're doing Clueless musical.
Yeah, everything is like coming back.
Just they're doing Step by Step in musical.
I wish.
Oh my God. That's a great
idea. Actually, Huey Lewis, I know it's not the same Step by Step, but that just reminds me of Step by Step, the song.
Yeah.
It just did an out of town tryout and they're trying to bring that to Broadway.
I did a reading of that.
You did?
I did.
Of course you did.
Like just to sit down. No singing or anything. They just played Huey Lewis songs and then I just like read some
that's
of it.
Awesome.
But it was out of band.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, okay.
I did a reading of Rock of Ages.
And you did.
Seth Green was in it.
Oh,
I did a movie with Seth.
I think Ryan Phillippe. Someone. It was like the weirdest. I don't know how I got invited to do this reading.
Because you're awesome.
I did the reading of Rock of Ages, and because Kristen Hange invited me, and I was like, okay. And we did it at CAA. I'll never forget. And then I rode back in the car with her, and she's like, "Well, what did you think?" And I go, "Oh, this show's never gonna make it to Broadway."
And, oh, great!
Yeah, you just never know.
I was like, "She's like, what?" And she's directing it, but my and I'm
"Yeah, but you're not afraid to speak the truth."
No, I'm like, "Kristen, this. I mean, the only thing
like,
great
is terrible.
The only thing that's great is the music, but the book. I'm like,
but that's always with the jukebox musicals. The book is what takes so long to develop.
I was like, this is horrible.
Yeah."
Yeah, but it was me, Aaron Lohr.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of people, you know, from those old days.
Well, that's why doing something like Hairspray, you realize how special that is. And then Jersey Boys, and they knew how to do, that is how you do a jukebox musical. Rick Ellis wrote that book, and he is a genius playwright.
Who'd you play in Jersey Boys?
Mary Delgado.
Oh, perfect.
Italian. Yeah.
Did you work with Kelly Devine?
Yes.
Love her.
Me some Kelly.
Yeah. She's choreographing Clueless.
Oh, awesome.
And didn't she did Rock of Ages?
She did Rock of Ages. She also did Come From Away.
Yeah. Oh,
and
which
Rocky.
I saw.
It's amazing.
And that, okay, so Jen Colella, who was nominated for a Tony, was in that show with Twilight Harp, that Bob Dylan show.
Okay.
And there were, and actually one of the guys, Chad Kimball, was in Good Vibrations.
Oh my God. Yeah.
A reunion. It was, okay, I'm just going to be real.
Go ahead.
When I went to see Come From Away, I thought, I'm not excited to see this. I'm just going to see it because people told me to see it. I was not interested in sort of living that in the moment. I would say it was my favorite musical of like the last 5 years. I was obsessed. If the tour is coming to your town,
I think it's coming here.
Go see it.
Yeah.
It is coming to the Amundsen.
It's 90 minutes, no intermission, by the by, which
dream.
I love.
Yeah, that's how it all should be.
And it's so good. Did you see it?
I saw it. And it's unreal. I knew when they were like testing
it. See, I had no expectations of
it. And I was so excited because I loved the fact that they were taking such a traumatic story.
Yeah.
In the sense of the 9/11, you know. And it was just about this like
pocket
of what was going on. And it was so, I get chills thinking about
it. I just got the chills too.
But it's really good.
It was special.
I want to know, just because you've done the whole New York of it all. You've had a New York actor life and an LA actor life. And like the New York actor life, I find is so interesting just because I didn't do that.
It gives me spilkas thinking about it.
I'm sure.
It does.
I mean, so.
That's a nervous stomach, just FYI for the people that don't know.
When you're like doing the auditions and, you know, beating down the pavement or whatever, and like from, you know, place to place, like what sticks out in your mind of like some of the most harrowing experiences? Other than having
you mean every day?
Yeah. Right. Then having to go find a bathroom. Which, by the way, like, where is anyone peeing?
Okay, let me tell you. First of all, I was a great and very talented self-sabotager at very impressive levels. So I have a lot of stories. I could tell you one New York story that's not Broadway related, but it is about the grind in New York. I don't know if you remember this, but there was this show that came out called Pop Star. It was it was a derivative of American Idol.
Yes.
I don't even know if it aired for five minutes. So I'm feeling myself. I'm like, I'm on Broadway. I'm going to go audition for Pop Star. This is my moment. Okay. But I didn't tell anyone because if it didn't work out, it was such an ego thing where I didn't want anyone to know that I actually did that. So now I'm talking about it for the first time ever, actually right now. And I'll never forget. So you wait in line for hours. You kind of just sing for a couple people to get through different sort of phases of the thing. Okay, next level, next level. And then you get to the point where you're going to sing on the set stage for judges. Not the judges. It might have been, who even knows, but judges.
Right.
They gave you the women had two options. They could either sing, I'm like a bird, okay, or Christina Aguilera's Come On Over, Come On Over. Okay. So I'm like, oh, I'm singing Christina Aguilera. It's on. We're doing that. And they said one note. They said, okay, whatever you do, just when you're doing Come On Over, don't repeat the first line twice. Just do the Come On Over, Baby. And then just, hey, boy, don't you know? You know, just go.
Right, right.
Great. So you can imagine.
And it's a cappella.
It's a cappella.
Okay.
Hours have gone by.
Right.
I'm ready. Like, I'm asleep. I stand up and just full on. Come on over, come, and then just come on over. And then weirdly, like, riff on the Come On Over, Baby the second time. And I didn't even get, they're like, thank you. It was just the biggest joke. Like, the second they heard me not take the note of singing that line twice, it was classic me, like, in New York.
But that show never made it. So
it never made it, and no one ever knew, but now you all know. But... And I would say the hardest experiences for me was I had been singing and acting. I went to Northwestern University and I did the music theater program, but I'm a mover. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm not a dancer. I'm not going to give you like triple pirouette, like go, bat my layout.
Right.
It's not happening. So I would say my hardest, the most embarrassing audition was probably like doing the dance call for Wicked. Where you tail between your legs. You're just trying to hide in the back corner, like keeping up with everybody. It was.
But do they start with the dance call or they start with the singing?
Usually they start with the singing.
So you've made it past that.
Yes. And then I was very delicately not delicate.
Some of them, they start with the dance.
Well, it depends. At that time, I was auditioning for ensemble. I had just come to New York and was trying to do the thing. So there was I was there for ensemble. So at that point, it's actually more important that you can dance.
Right.
And I just remember being like in the weeds.
Oy.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I've been in those.
You're just sweating and you're young and you don't know. And you're like, I can't.
And nothing makes you feel worse than being in one of those and like not being able to keep up and watching all the people around you just like nail it.
Yes. And seeing the casting, it was Bernie Telsey, which was the office that cast so much and cast me in my first Broadway show, basically. Seeing the disappointment on their faces, I'm like, oh, we thought you could do this. Oh, you can't do this.
By the way, so... Did she just eat a second
cake
pop?
Did you eat the second one out of the bag?
Did you throw away the stick?
That was Lolly.
She was honest,
though. No, it
wasn't
for me. I was going to have her get later, after her nap.
She was honest about it.
Lolly, sorry, guys. We're just pausing for a second. Alaa brought my daughter a cake pop.
Well, I don't have a choice.
I know. It was very nice of you.
You're the candy man.
And there was a second one in the bag that she spied, like a little gremlin. And I think she just... got the bag down.
Yeah, I would say that's on you guys.
And she just sure came did. In and was like,
she's proud that she got it.
But like really quiet. I ate this. And then just walked out.
Yeah.
At least she told me.
Yeah. She was proud. She's like, very I proud. Went.
Well,
I,
no, she thought about it. She's like, they're going to see a missing bag.
I see a bag on the ground and a bunch of crumbs like a mouse, like Hansel and Gretel. Yeah.
My baby's so obsessed with the phone. And I try to do no phones when my baby's almost a year. And I have this spot in where we play where I hide it behind one particular pillow.
Right.
She never knew. But now she discovered the pillow.
Oh, yeah.
So she walks in and just rips that pillow off the couch every time. And I'm like, no, there it is.
Yeah. I know you gotta get very, very
smart.
Savvy.
Yeah.
She's constantly asking me, like, Mama, what you got? Mama, you got a snack for me?
Oh, yeah.
Mama, what you got? Right.
No. They could smell food from a mile away.
I was crinkling a paper, and like a dog, she came to me and goes, what you got? I go, nothing. I'm throwing away.
Yeah,
I'm
but it's paper.
Away an old wrapper.
Time out, but it's paper.
Yeah.
My baby would love a piece of paper. On the airplane, we just gave her magazines just to shred.
Oh, awesome.
But now I have to unteach her that because now she takes books.
Hey, guys, no one cares about your baby stories.
Okay, bye.
What happened? How did you guys, meet? What did you work on together?
The first time we worked together was Happy Days the Musical.
Hey, yo, we're going to give a high five now.
Shout out to Gary Marshall, who we both love.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. I was playing Joni Cunningham. And Jackie was playing Pinky Tuscadero.
Oh my God, that's a fun role, right?
It was really fun.
And you were like a big deal. It was a big deal that they got you.
That's really nice of you to say.
Well, didn't they put you up?
He bought me out of the Hairspray contract.
Wow. That's huge.
For that show?
Yes. And then I came to LA and everyone was like, oh, we don't care about you. Bye. They're like, thanks so much for coming to LA.
Wait a minute. He bought you. So you were doing the Hairspray tour.
I was on Broadway doing Hairspray.
What role on Hairspray?
I would cover, I was Luann, mm-hmm. Luann Fran Houlihan. And I would play Amber. That's the recognizable role. Also the blonde.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was doing that on the Broadway. And he wanted the Life in Pieces. Where did that just go? I was talking to my friend in the car on the way here. And and for Happy Days, I had auditioned for him. And that's actually how my whole LA journey started.
Yeah.
So then he saw you and was like, but Happy Days wasn't like, it was still like.
It was like kind of still a tryout.
It was a tryout show.
Yes, he did that.
So
that was out of his pocket. That was like the most, I would say the biggest thing anyone's ever done in terms of showing me they believe in me ever.
So that's why you did
it. And the last time anyone said it was the first and the last.
So that's why you did it.
Because also I really wanted to do it. It was like,
I know,
who wouldn't want
to
leave
Broadway, a guarantee.
To come out to LA.
And Pinky Tuscadero with Gary Marshall. He directed it too.
Yeah.
I know.
And
meet
Christine Lakin.
Oh my gosh.
And Joey Mack. I was
Joey
like,
McIntyre was Fonzie.
Rory
O'Malley was Richie. I mean, it was,
It was awesome.
It felt like a big deal. Gary Marshall. People said
it
Gary
was.
Marshall.
People
it's
remember
a
that
deal.
Production.
No, I believe it was a big deal, but like. It still was a tryout kind of. I mean, it was in Falcon, right?
Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Auditioning for Gary Marshall in New York was a magical moment in my life.
Go ahead.
And when he says, would you like to do this? There was only one answer and it was yes.
All right. I believe it.
Give me some of that. He has sort of that.
It was less even about, and I think for all of us who ever did theater for him, it was less about like, that project in particular, that project was really fun and we all wanted to do it. It was always about like working for Gary and working with Gary.
100.
That's why I did like kids shows, not because I thought that was going to be the greatest thing for my career was a kids show,
right.
But because I loved Gary and I knew that he loved the theater so much and it meant that you got to work with him and he was so good to all of us.
Oh, he really was.
He put us in movies. And
he was like family and he really.
It was just, and it was fun. It was truly fun.
And
truth.
The producers of Hairspray, were they like, what are you doing?
No.
Oh, they were.
I think, again, because it's Gary Marshall. Right. He just has this infectious, this amazing quality about him. Anyone that knew him just sort of.
I've only met him a few times. And he's amazing. I met his sister, Penny.
Yes.
She's amazing.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
She's
hilarious.
Cray.
And then Ronnie is brilliant and sweet. They're all brilliant.
Oh, so sweet. Yeah.
Did that show go anywhere?
Yeah. I mean, it eventually went to like, did like a whole run at Paper Mill. I don't think it, and then it did a tour. I don't think it ever went like where he wanted it to go, but there were many, many, iterations of Happy Days with different people. But it was
a special time.
It was a special time. And then, you can see Jackie in New Year's Eve. She's hilarious.
Please actually don't see me in that.
Why?
It's cringeworthy. I can't watch it.
Why?
Oh,
you don't have to watch
You're
it.
You're great.
Well, I was getting my hair blown out at Dry Bar and it was playing. And I remember thinking,
that is funny when I go to Dry Bar now and then I see
and
myself
see
in a movie.
Right. And I was like, which movie is
Dry
this?
Bar?
They play
those old.
Yeah.
And I was like, which one is this? Is this Valentine's Day? What is this?
Which one is that?
Yeah. This is definitely a Gary movie. And literally, before I know it, I'm on screen with Josh Duhamel.
Yes.
And I'm like,
oh, please. I was wearing a mustard colored jacket and my only line was like, can I get you another Di Serrano?
But you crushed it.
Yeah.
You crushed
in
it.
In a mustard vest.
It
was
so
my shining.
Funny,
oh,
cringy.
I remember that.
Shining moment. But it was fun.
And the residuals.
Yes. So there's that.
Those are legit.
Those are legit.
So for those of you who don't understand that, when you do a film like that, that does really well, you continue to get residuals no matter if you have one line or 30 lines.
Can I tell you the best residual I ever got was one line. I had one line and I wasn't even in the movie. I dubbed somebody.
Oh, nice.
In Ted.
Yes.
And there was one line just dubbed and like.
Take it.
That movie, man, got me my insurance.
It's true. Those movies.
Like probably for 2 years, I got insurance from that.
I had the same thing. It was the same thing.
God bless Seth MacFarlane.
Jack and Jill, I did that Adam Sandler movie.
Yes.
And it was one scene.
Right.
One scene at the end of the movie, but I'm still getting checks. Because every Christmas, it's plays.
Right. And just like Gary Marshall movies, every
New Year's Eve.
Every New Year's Eve that'll play.
Around Christmas,
New Year's. Like they'll do a Gary Marshall retrospective and they'll just play like all of his movies for 2 days on E. You know, it's
and
awesome.
Then, you know, Christine and I take people out for drinks. No.
with our $3 checks. but then we did a bunch of stuff. We did a bunch of shows with Troubadour Theater Company, and that was super fun.
I've been trying to get them to do a show. You know how you guys do the mashups?
Yeah.
The holiday shows.
Yeah, we would do mashups like Shakespeare and then popular music. So it was like Romeo Hall and Juliet Oates. Or a very merry Carol King Christmas, like stuff like that.
Right. So, which I think is genius because it like, you know, everyone knows the story and it's modernized and it's hilarious.
Yes.
So looking at the cast from a lot of the people that were in that Troubadour troupe, I was staring at two of the actors in there and I was like, oh my God, this would be genius. And I think it should be Selena Medea. So Katie Nunez, right?
Yes. I just bumped into her.
She would play Selena.
Obviously.
And
Lisa Valenzuela
would play Medea, who would also play the woman who killed Selena because she looks like the woman who killed Selena.
Oh my God, you tell her that every time.
She looks just like her.
I don't think she likes that. I think that's a compliment to her.
Well, she looks like her.
Okay, well, maybe stop telling her that to her face.
But she looks like
okay.
Her.
All right. Okay. I don't.
She
think
looks like the woman who shot.
Put
her
it
at
in
the
suggestion
hotel.
Box, and they'll. Yeah. I'm so sure crazy. They'll evaluate it.
I just saw that movie again at Dry Bar.
What, Selena?
Actually, it was a Dry Bar. It was New York, but I literally just saw it.
Selena.
Yeah.
It's genius.
It's so good.
Chitty chitty bum bum. I love that. I love Selena.
Classic.
Okay, let's talk about your new gig. So you're on Single Parents.
I'm on Single Parents, which is exciting. I'm sort of the Regina George.
You're playing sort of a bitchy mom.
Not sort of a bitch. She is a bitch.
I love
She's
it.
She's like, I'm like, hey, I'm like a bitch.
And you're at the school.
Well, yeah. You'll see me in different places, but I'm in the world of single parents, and the single parents are sort of the good guys. I'm a married parent, and I'm an antagonist.
And nice. Like, what is your look?
Regina George, like stick straight hair, always high collared, buttoned up.
Are you like Cameron from Dallas?
I am giving you Cameron all day, yes. And I pucker my lips and I say, girl.
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 Are you watching Dallas?
Am I Jewish?
I am so happy with Dallas because I thought
Dallas is crushing it this season.
I thought for sure this is not going to make. I thought it was going to be another Miami situation.
Right. I know. Miami.
After the first season, I was kind of like, I don't know.
They are bringing it.
It is so good.
So good. But I am upset about Deandra
and Leanne. You're upset about what? That they hate each other?
And I realize I need them to work it out.
Oh, see, I'm the opposite.
I know. People like that. Like, they like the drama of it, but
well, because I don't like Leanne. She drives me crazy.
But I really do believe that she's working on herself.
You do? You really do?
I really... Look, even
did
if it's
for
camera...
Did you watch last week's episode where she stood up on the couch, don't put your finger in my face?
And she gave the greatest soliloquy of all time on The Housewives. She says, I'm exhausted.
My weave is exhausted. My panty liner in my underwear is exhausted. Then, it was so good.
Yes,
it was so good.
I love her. And I love Mama D, though.
Oh, Mama D what does she look like to you? She looks like an eraser. Like, she's like, Like, it doesn't, nothing moves. It's like this block. It's like a block. It's like a, you know, I'm just like, oh my God.
So many of them have done so much to their face.
She's coming after. She's coming after Leanne. Yeah.
Oh, and Brandy.
Brandy trying to get drunk just to spite her. Like,
that was the weirdest thing, but I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed
it. My new favorite person is Stephanie.
Loving Stephanie. She's blossoming.
She's like my new favorite character.
Yeah, because she's sort of being true to herself.
Yeah,
and
she's
is,
like, great. And I love that she's so loaded and you would never know it.
How about her husband going away to do Harvard Business
School? I know. It's like, what?
What? Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing. It's so good. But I do want them to make up. It's their relationship I always really loved because it felt like they could push each other's buttons and be real with each other, but it was unbreakable. Your dog has a Lego.
I know.
But so it's making me sad, but the more time that goes by, it seems like.
If you could be a housewife, would you?
The quick answer is sign me up yesterday, of course. And then the answer after a week is like, no, but my but husband maybe. Will probably won't let me.
Yeah. Which, by the way,
my children would probably be really mad at me.
Can we talk about him for a minute, your husband?
Oh, yes.
Great. He's director.
Yes, director.
Film and television?
Yes. Yeah. But he is known for his he did the pilot for Modern Family and directed the majority of the first three seasons.
He's amazing. A genius.
And
Jason Weiner.
Yeah. Jason Weiner. He's the Jewish Mark Anthony.
what does that mean?
I don't know. People always tell me he looks like Mark Anthony.
Oh, he
I
looks
don't,
like Mark Anthony.
I don't see that. But
I don't. I think it's.
But it's a thing that I get a lot.
I think, you know, he's sort of like he's like a taut, like, you know, smaller man, I guess. Yeah. That's why. I don't know. I don't
but
know.
But don't you think nowadays, like, actors can cross over?
We tell him
into
he's taut.
The actors can cross
he
over.
I mean, he's like, you know, he's like
he's taut.
I knew what you meant.
He's fit.
He's fit.
Yeah, he's fit.
He's fit.
Taut.
I don't know what taut means. He's fit. I meant like
you're
like,
breastfeeding way too much.
No, I like taut. Right.
He's taut. Go to
it's a compliment
get,
though.
When you go see your husband tonight or later this afternoon,
no, like, you're like, so Chris, taut.
Christine thinks you're taut.
Yeah.
I think that's a compliment.
He's going to be like,
I like that word.
Can you forward me her number?
Yeah.
Is that inappropriate?
So, here's the funny thing. I did a movie with her husband, with Jason, years ago. Like, really before.
Arthur, what movie?
It was before he, like, had hit it, I think, directing. He was already doing some of his own projects. It's before he did The Adventures of Big Handsome Man.
Yeah.
Was that it was a short?
A pilot.
Pilot. And he, we did a movie together called Suits on the Loose.
Suits on the Loose.
Yeah. It was a sneaky Christian movie.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yep. And
did he
I think
know that?
It was about
Do
two,
I know that?
I have to find it for you. It was about two Mormons going into this like small town. I think he played one of the Mormons.
Jason. Well, yes. He was an actor. Like, he was an improv actor. He with a bunch of people like.
Yeah, my daughter's coming
was
back
one of the
in.
Original
Hold
IO.
On. Wait.
Oh, iOS.
Just IO.
Oh,
Improv
IO.
Olympics.
Yeah. IO. Yeah, yeah.
I know my husband really well.
What's going on?
I'm pretty sure he was. Yeah.
Well, whatever. But that makes him a great director if he stars.
He
in
has
improv
had yes. He's had his hands in. He's a great writer.
Which
on
means
all the
that
things.
Which helped probably lead to the success of Modern Family because
oh, definitely.
You
he's also
can
a great
tell that a lot of that stuff is like.
I mean, I'm so proud of him. I think he's sort of.
He's
done. I feel
he's
like he created a whole single camera style.
Yeah,
I agree.
And I am like, I'm all about saying that.
Yeah.
Out loud to people.
No, I mean, Modern Family was, I think. It reinvented the idea of the sitcom because
well, originally it was called
and
the American
that
Family
and that right. docu style.
I auditioned for when it was called the American Family and they were auditioning for the pilot
because it was actually supposed for people that don't know this. It was originally going to be like a docu series and there was all going to be from the perspective of a foreign exchange student living with the family. And then they did, I think they might have done a pilot or something. And then they decided, well, we love the family and we love the docuseries. We don't need this kid.
Right.
So they like cut the kid out. And then, you know,
and
I think
I auditioned for who's the guy that played the bigger gay guy? The
Eric
Stoneshi?
I auditioned for that role. Hold on a second. But while I was in the waiting room, it was just me because they were like just bringing like it was, I don't know if they were like very selective on who was coming in. It was just me in the waiting room and the assistant was making sure that the person that they were going to forward to the network was, you know, she had it on her computer that she was going through the footage to make sure it was all there.
Right.
It was Eric's audition.
Oh, funny.
And I was like, holy shit, this guy's amazing. I
oh,
was
you
like,
saw
I,
it.
I saw it because she was right. I'm at the oh, I'm in God. The waiting room. She's at the desk and I'm watching her watch his audition.
You ever heard someone get an offer while you're in the waiting room? Going oh, for a job?
Many times.
All the time.
Many times.
So I was like, I couldn't even. Because I ended up, I went in going to play him as a Latino.
Right, right, right.
So I was trying, I was doing sense. The accent, whatever, yeah. you know. And I was like, this guy's amazing.
We need to do a reading of the pilot, but recast it with like oh, that character yeah. as Latino and just switch it all up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's such a brilliant show.
It's great.
So good. Did you ever do a Modern Family?
I did. I ended up, not with Jason though. Jeff Greenberg, who's casting yeah. Dr. Dern, is awesome.
Love Jeff.
He brought me in for, do you know, what's that guy's name that Sarah Hyland's like boyfriend, Dylan?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He married me, like an older woman with kids.
Oh,
oh really?
Yeah. Awesome.
I married Dylan.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, that's it. Well, it was for 5 seconds.
It's such a night. I went in, yeah. And I think I was like my third or fourth audition for it. And then finally booked one.
Yes.
Yeah. But it is the nicest, one of the nicest sets I have ever, ever worked on. People See? Were so lovely.
And it's like, so convenient.
So wonderful.
And it's such a convenient
it was
lot.
Easy.
It's Everyone right was... that a- Buena Vista ABC. It's like perfect lot.
Well, we didn't shoot there, but
oh.
We were on location for my scenes.
Oh,
but,
sorry.
Yeah, sorry. No, but it was
one
awesome.
Of Christine's
really
4,000 jobs.
Well, speaking of jobs.
Jobs. Jobs?
We just
jobs.
Mentioned it a few weeks back, but Christine yeah. got a direct, you know, she's directed an episode.
I am trying to take the Jason Weiner path.
By the way, it's only a matter of time.
Just trying to follow Jason Weiner's
footsteps. You should absolutely
do she's been wanting to do this forever, and finally the opportunity comes. And on a hit show.
Thank you.
On ABC. Can we say the name?
We can say the name.
Can we say it? I don't know it.
The Goldbergs.
The Goldbergs.
Oh my God, Christine. That's so exciting.
So she just wrapped.
I wrapped Tuesday. Was my
That's
last.
That's what you were
day.
Directing.
That's what I was directing.
Oh, I have the chills again.
So That's what episode? What number amazing. Is it? Gonna, like,
it's the 10th episode of this season. I think they'll air in order, but anyway, it should be on beginning of December.
Yes, women.
I will let everybody know. Probably second week, I think. Second week.
And your experience overall?
It was amazing.
Like she called me after the first day.
I need to know.
And it was a very hectic day, apparently, because you know how shows like this. Scripts are changing constantly. Locations are changing. And
we want to do this. Oh, we can't get that location. Oh, we got to rewrite this. Oh, so-and-so needs to be out by 5. You know, this is life.
So they threw the first day, they threw it at her. And she called me right after it. I'll never forget what you said to me. She goes, I think I found my calling.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Oh, I have the chills again.
Yeah.
Wait, this is amazing. Yeah. This is such a big deal.
It is.
And by the way, there's a huge demand for female directors.
Yes.
And good ones.
And by the way, are you wanting to do single camera comedy or everything? Multi-camera?
I would do
drama?
Everything. Because I know multi-cam so well, I'd been shadowing a lot in multi just because it's such a specific and unique way of
style.
Doing things.
Yeah, it's
style.
Different.
And I obviously grew up in that, so I totally get it.
You speak the language.
Single cam, in some ways, to me, was so much easier to direct because you're just taking your day and going day by day. You're not looking at the whole play and directing the whole play.
Yeah, because it is like directing a play.
Right.
And then you've got the 4 cameras, someone dealing with that, but then you've got to really map the whole thing out.
Right. And for me, like getting on, you know, I've worked on the Goldbergs for the last 5 years. We're in our 6th season. I've been their resident choreographer, which a lot of people don't know. So I've done over a dozen episodes with them. So I know the crew. I know the way the show works. I know the way the show feels. I've shadowed twice on it. They knew I wanted to direct. And it was just kind of a matter of time of finding the right slot.
Christine, it's so major.
It's a major thing. And also, she's going to get me the cast on this fucking podcast.
This is insane. And also, I feel like I know Jason, I know people are always looking for female directors, you know, to try to level that playing field. Yep. You know, it's so important and you're so talented. I'm so not surprised. Thanks. I'm so excited. Yeah.
And you're
going to
make so much money directing.
Well, I would, you know, the thing
so that
I,
you can donate to GoFundMe, GoFundMe.com / Alaz New Grill, ALAASNEWGRILL.
Thank
Continue.
You. The thing I loved about it really is that it felt familiar and fresh at the same time.
100%.
It felt like you're walking into something that I already knew all the players. I already knew a lot of the politics of the position. I knew there would be learning curves in certain things. I felt like I knew what I was doing in terms of like, okay, I'm here to facilitate these actors. I have to tell them what the choreography is of the scene and then make sure that all the departments around me understand what we're doing, get everybody on board. And then you're basically just managing everybody's time, personalities, requests, needs. That's
really
what your job is.
Are you in post now too?
I'm in post. So I'll go into editing probably next week.
This is so interesting too. You as a choreographer, you've already been doing that. You have all the different, you have training in so many of the different aspects of it.
Yeah.
That it makes sense to use all your skills as
a
director.
She's the next Kenny Ortega. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, he directed all the High School Musicals.
Yeah, like, I would love
like,
to do that.
You know,
right.
That's, you can do shit like that.
This is incredible.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I loved it. I really, and like, you know, for me, working
she tried
with
like you knew what you were doing.
By the way,
it's insane. That's
she
it.
Tried to get us in. Right.
I did. So there were like four male roles. It was like a cyclist, man, other man, but they were each like, you know, two or three lines, valet, each two or three lines. So, you know, now that I'm in this position, I said, am I allowed? I know some people I think would be great. Could I submit to casting? And they were like, yes, of course. So I wrote down, you know, a last name, my husband's name, a couple other names of friends of ours and submitted them into casting.
I got the audition, but this happened.
The tooth happened.
The same day.
The same day.
I was like, I can't go in.
So he's like totally bummed.
There's something better waiting for you around the corner.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm putting my husband on tape the night after our anniversary dinner and we've had like a bottle of champagne and because it was due the next day. So here I am directing my husband.
Oh my gosh,
scene.
That's so funny if they can only
like,
see you.
I know. And like submitting it and the whole thing. So, you know, just as what we go through as actors, you put yourself on tape, you're trying to like find these different characters, you know, try to get the tape in, the whole thing. And then I'm on the other side of it 3 days later at a tone meeting. And literally they're like, yeah, do we really need this character? I mean, I feel like this character should probably be a woman now. And then I'm just like listening. I'm like, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, yeah. Oh, you know who we should get for this one? We already have the person for this one. Let's just hire so-and-so. And you're like, okay, great.
You see
like,
behind the curtain.
Yeah, you see behind the curtain of like.
How not personal it is.
It's not personal at all when you don't get a job. And half the time, like these parts are being rewritten or they're going away or they're becoming, you know, they're hiring someone of ethnic origin. Like you just can never take anything personally.
Well, oh no, I didn't take it personally at all.
Although you had the tooth, a jack-o-lantern.
Had the tooth not come out, I would have booked that job.
I would be wearing teeth on your shirt as well, even.
Yeah, no, just
you wore that specifically for us.
Yes, yeah, I love it.
And I'm going to the dentist today.
Yeah, but I loved it.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
That's incredible.
You.
It's
it
the
really
beginning
fun.
Of the next chapter. I have no doubt that it's just going to be amazing.
I hope so. I really loved it.
Oh, no, I think for sure. I think they're going to bring her back. I think that word will get up, you know.
That's it.
People seemed really.
Are you
going to
get the
really
actors on this show?
Yes, I will. I promise. I will.
Who's your first?
Wendy McClendon.
I need Wendy.
I love me some
because
Wendy
I
want McClendon.
To talk some politics with her.
Okay.
I want to talk some Reno 911 with her.
Oh, yeah. I told you who I sat next to at my DGA orientation.
Yes. I was
Niecy
so upset.
Niecy Nash.
I was so upset. Because I'm a
Niecy
have
and
you
I
seen Claus?
Friends.
No.
Oh, my God.
It's that's
so
good. She is transformative.
Yeah. It's
I only
so
know
good.
Niecy as a comedic performer.
Yeah.
And she is like giving you like scary, crazy.
If you would, amazing. I wish you would have invited her to come on the podcast.
Oh, don't worry. I'll get
because
to her.
I want to talk about her and Sherry Shepherd.
I know. You have a whole her.
Well, because she introduced Sherry Shepherd from The View to her husband, now ex-husband.
Okay.
Who totally ripped her off and like there's a whole scandal. But they still remain friends because of course Niecy didn't mean to do that. She thought the guy was good. He was a scam artist. So I got to talk to her about that.
Wow. Okay.
By the way, speaking of The View and Wendy Williams, which I haven't talked about, but all because of the fires and everything, and with the election, Donald Trump doing his fucking 1.5 hour, what's it called?
Press conference.
Press conference. Everything's been preempted.
Right.
I've got no View.
Right,
I've had no Wendy Williams. Right. Even my Judge Judy's. I'm watching fires on the Judge Judy's.
Not the Judge Judy's.
The Dr. Phil episode I wanted to watch yesterday? No, the fires.
I mean,
well, you know,
Thousand
sorry.
Oaks is really getting, is Thoughts it's of bad, I mean, it's man. Bad in Thousand Oaks right now.
I know. I believe
it. You can see it from here. It's terrible.
No, the sky is changing.
The fires are bad, but listen, you can donate to that too. But if you would donate to.
But I don't have teeth.
GoFundMe.com/
Okay.
Alas New Grill.
But no less than $1,000.
Yeah.
So, we can bet a dollar, just be 27,000 of you.
Does Jason still direct Modern Families or he's off to, he did Life in Pieces.
Yeah, he now.
I like that show, Life in Pieces.
Yes. It's
really good.
It's great, right?
Yeah.
It's awesome. Really good.
Yeah.
That's coming back. That's back.
It's back. They got picked up for 13 episodes. Murphy Brown was in the slot currently.
Okay.
Yeah. They've always done well. And
are you watching Murphy Brown?
I'm not watching Murphy. I actually don't get to watch.
I watched it.
You did?
Yeah.
He was not a fan. Well, you said it was okay.
They're going back into retirement.
Well, are they really?
I mean, I don't know.
They probably aren't going to get picked up. The tone of the show feels different than when they first did it. I thought it was such a smart concept with what's going on in the world.
Right.
But it's I feel like, do you know if they tape in front of a live audience?
Well, isn't it single camera?
I feel like it's single cam. But it wasn't prior, was it?
I don't know. I feel,
was it a multi-camera before?
I feel
before?
Like it was.
That's a hard transition.
I feel like it needs a live audience because it just feels canned and...
Yeah. Especially if you're used to it feeling a different way.
The I don't whole know. Show Something is, about it is different. I hate the fact that the Jim character is not there.
What happened? Where is he?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I don't know if I'm afraid that he might have died or something. I don't know.
Somebody needs to tweet you guys at worst.
See what's happening with that.
Yeah. Ever podcast. Where's Jim?
Where's Jim?
But I thought the idea of the show was really great. I love that because of what's going on in politics, she comes back at a retirement and like does. I hate the fact that it's a morning show. That was the first mistake. It should have been an evening news kind of thing. What's her name? The female, the blonde, what's her name? That's on it. Anyways, you know who I'm talking about. She was like the really quirky, funny.
Yes.
Prissy one. I feel like she's.
Faith
lost,
Ford.
Faith Ford. Yeah. I feel like she's lost it a little. Like it just feels like very.
Womp womp.
But I'm sticking with it.
Go for Rob.
So he's recurring. He's 82 years old. He's a retired newsman, but does find a compelling reason to return to the game for a short time.
Oh, so he's probably coming up. I've only seen four episodes, so he hasn't been in the first.
He's 82 years old.
Yeah,
in real life.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I feel like he was. I felt like he was in his 40s.
No.
Really?
No. He had to be. Yeah. Oh. Anyways, I'm hoping it does well. I want it to do well. I love Tyne Daly on it.
Yeah.
She's amazing on it.
And you're watching The Conners, and you like it.
I love The Conners.
I couldn't get into it.
It's a hot topic. Yeah, I haven't seen The Conners.
I love it.
Get into it.
I love it. I love. You know what I love about it? I feel like
Laurie Metcalf.
No, not
Sarah Gilbert.
Sarah Gilbert is really coming back into her own. I feel like. Yeah. I feel like that Becky. Or is it Becky? No, it was
Darlene.
Darlene. That Darlene is back and then some. Mm-hmm. It's given her now that Roseanne's out of it, it's given her a chance to like really take
shine.
Order. And her comedy is so much better this season than it was last season. It's really interesting. And Laurie Metcalf is, I mean, she's, you can't say anything bad about
I
her.
I saw her in A Doll's House too.
Oh,
in a what?
In New York.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
She's genius.
It was, I've never seen anything. Living on stage, just living in a way that you think, oh, I thought I've seen other people live on stage, but I haven't because now I've seen you. And it's like subtractive knowledge. You can't. She's unbelievable.
I would love to see a show with Laurie Metcalf and what's her name for Moms?
Yes, agree. Allison Janney. She is my favorite.
I think if the two of them had a show together,
the place would explode.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
Somebody.
They're both so good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm watching right now?
Go ahead.
And I'm like obsessed. I think I've watched four episodes in the last 2 days. Killing Eve.
Killing Eve.
BBC America. Sandra Oh. It is
good.
It is so good. And
it's very hard for me to find time to watch TV because of the Housewives.
Well, I get
it. No, I was going to say, I do find time to watch television, but it's so much Bravo programming to get through that it's very difficult. Because I'm also, I go in deep on like the Southern Charm, didn't I?
The Southern Charm.
Did you watch Shaw's last night?
Sorry, not to take it off from this.
No.
No, but no one cares about this BBC show.
Of course. Mercedes.
Who's looking for the fucking BBC show?
I heard it was good, and
look,
it is.
We're I'm trying to keep America great again.
Okay.
Right, Mercedes Wedding?
Oh my God, was it?
Was that real? What was happening?
It was like a shit show.
She's literally at her wedding, like telling him to F off because you're not giving me the vows right now. Just shut up. F up. It was the craziest.
It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I was like, what is
her and Tommy are the best couple.
I can't wait for the reunion.
I know. Although, did you see the
it was weird.
What was going on between Reza and Gigi?
Something about her ex that like.
Shalom
or whatever the hell's name
is. No, he said that you've been awful to me or something. Reza said that to Gigi. I don't know.
I don't know what's happening. I didn't
realize they all went to Beverly Hills High together.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about it on
with
here.
Monica Lewinsky.
Monica Lewinsky, okay. And one of the Kardashians.
By the way, Ashley is not coming back to Southern Charmed. I don't know if you know that.
Trashley.
Oh.
Trashley.
Because
but she's claiming that Ravenel. She after a lot of consideration. Wait, did you see Patricia?
What?
Patricia did a tweet because her tweet said, I'm paraphrasing. It said something on the lines of, after much consideration and with my discussing my family, I'm not going to be returning to Southern Charmed because blah bloody blah. And Patricia wrote, I've decided to decline the Nobel Peace Prize. and oh my God, you have to find it and read it.
Well, no, because Thomas can't come back.
Yes, and nobody wants Trashley on the show either.
Right, but I want to.
Thomas can't come back?
No, because
he's been arrested.
He's under charges of. He's one of the Me Too.
And Catherine is going for full custody.
She'll get
good on her.
What a freaking shit show that has been. Like the.
But now that I'm a mom, I cannot imagine what she's been through.
Well, okay, so when I got pregnant, I decided to go back to season one of Southern Charm because I'd never watched season one and two. I think I picked it up during three. I don't know why. And then Brandon and I suddenly started watching it. And when I went back to the very beginning and like watched happen and watched him basically lure her in, tell her he would give her everything, get her pregnant twice, by the way.
Yes. And I'll take care of you.
I'll take care of you. And then like push her to the side.
Or in the basement.
In the basement.
Not to the basement. Push her down into the basement.
Yeah.
Where she, can you imagine having two babies or a baby in a basement, have to have dinner ready, being alone, like. Sequestered like that
out in some weird ass probably haunted plantation.
Terrifying.
Have you ever lived in an Arab lifestyle like myself?
Right. Right.
I'm kidding. No, we're not like that.
Shout out to mom.
No Sharia law here.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, good for her.
But did you watch Savannah?
I didn't watch Savannah because of the reason I just told you, which was I'm like just to get through all the programming.
She stepped out.
Yeah, but. I mean, Southern Charm of Savannah.
Yeah, but it was derivative.
Do you watch the Kardashians?
No.
I can't.
Okay.
Like a nail salon and it's on, I get sucked in real fast.
Yeah. If it's a Saturday and there's nothing on.
Nothing.
I just have one question about the Kardashians.
Yeah.
And maybe you can tell me
I do catch
this.
An episode here and there.
So you see what they're wearing.
I'm not familiar. Right.
Okay. What is going on with the clothing?
What do you
I
mean?
Feel like very they're tight. All wearing normcore clothing.
I don't
lately.
Know what normcore
what's normcore?
Is.
Normcore is like, do you know what normcore is, Rob?
Yeah, it's like anti-fashion or like just dressing as normal.
Right, like a big
fashion.
Oversized sweatshirt.
Yes. Like and oversized like, sweatshirt, like ugly K-Swiss shoes.
Well,
like
because
bike
they're phoning
shorts.
It in now.
You I don't I mean? Think so. I think it's a statement. I think it's a weird reverse fashion statement.
Well, either that or they're like going, I'm not wasting this because I'll never be able to wear it again.
I guess.
That's interesting.
I don't know. It's weird.
You know when you get your hair and makeup done and then you just put on like a t-shirt and you feel like you're cute?
That's what's happening.
And you're like, I feel cute. My hair and makeup's done. I can wear anything I want.
Obviously, they're at the house. Do you know what I mean? It's not like.
But they're getting full glam.
Well, they're never not going to get full glam.
Full, okay.
I mean, they're real pretty. I'm just going to say that.
I should get full glam?
Yeah.
Well, I'd have
you should do it when you're directing, though. Like, you should get up at 3 a.m.
Well, I told her when she was directing, I was like, please wear a beret, knickers, have a megaphone.
Have a pipe.
I did have a megaphone one day. It was
you
pretty
did?
Exciting.
Did?
Yeah. I wish someone had got a picture of me because it was just too funny.
I'm so prom.
There was a big like club scene, and there were a bunch of extras, and the actors were way in the back.
You were shooting a club scene on your first episode?
You guys, I had a club scene.
Nightmare.
She had a driving scene.
I had a driving scene on a tow rig.
Okay,
never
so
done
anything
that before.
From after this is going to be so easy.
Cake. I had a car that had a bunch of special effects. I won't ruin plot lines here. And then I also had stunts. There was stunts that we had to shoot.
And you had Jeff Goldberg.
Wait, when is your episode? What episode was it? What number?
No, he's awesome.
10. 6-10.
I just love this because it's like.
And we were also
on the ABC lineup
locations.
On Wednesday. You guys check out the ABC lineup on Wednesday.
Totally. Who knows? Maybe like you'll have. I wonder if our episodes. Yeah, we'll be on the same night.
They're not. I don't think because mine's 108, 109.
Well, you never know how they. This
True.
One might not. 10 may not end
oh,
up
Oh, yeah.
Being
we're skipping
10.
A week.
Yeah.
It might be the same night.
Oh my God. That would so be really exciting. Yeah, it's fun though. And they were all really great. But yeah, it's freaking crazy. The stuff
anything after that, a conversation in a kitchen, you're going to be like, where are the like flying cars?
We're not going to like
where's
three
the dream sequence
today.
Right.
Although I got to work with Rob Hubel.
Oh,
know
yeah.
Who that is? He was on Children's Hospital mm-hmm. and Transparent.
Mm-hmm.
I like
he is so good. He is so funny and so like just such a pro. It's so great when you get to work with somebody that you've always admired.
Oh, yeah.
How many ad-libs did you get out of people?
A lot. He ad-libbed quite a bit.
And are they good with that?
And David Koechner was also, he's hilarious. I mean, he's a stand-up, so he's always giving you like two or three random choices.
You're not watching Southern Charm New Orleans?
No, I didn't do any of this. But I am but I do Below Deck, and I did do Below Deck Med this year as well.
Yeah. What do you think of Below Deck this season?
Okay, so agree that Caroline looks like Ellie Kemper.
100%.
Also, what's wrong with her foot? Also,
it keeps getting infected.
Also, I feel bad for her that she's left out. Also, did you hear that? The clip of Kate comparing them to dogs and how funny it was that he's like, what is it?
Oh, yeah.
The guy's like a show dog.
Right.
And she's like a
chihuahua.
Little shivering that's like, shut the door and it shits itself. What do you think of Riley?
I like her.
I like her too.
I like that she's bald. She's abroad.
I'm very excited. Yeah. I'm very excited. I was very mad that she didn't go fishing. And I'm waiting for Captain Lee to
fire
Chandler or to like to demote him and make Ross the bosun.
He's gonna fire him. There's
you
no
think
way.
He's gonna fire him?
There's no way.
There's and I think he'll keep him for drama and just it's more dramatic if he demotes him and keeps him
You're
on
so
the boat.
So from Chicago with the drama.
Drama.
I think I have a suspicion that on all the Below Decks, all the people that come on to take the cruises, I feel like they're getting the cruise for free.
They're not.
Really?
They get a discounted
rate
because they're being filmed.
Right.
And by the way, you're being filmed. Like maybe don't have sex on the in the crow's nest or whatever.
Not only that, but watch season 1, 2, 3, you know, and know that they're going to be talking shit about you.
Yeah, be nice.
Whole time.
Well, say thank you. I was saying, I was so sure that the cruise was free and then they were just tipping them.
I love you're calling it a cruise.
Whatever.
The private yacht. Cruise. Like it's a cruise. Are they giving them like all you can eat, like free cruises?
You never did any cruise ships, did you?
I did.
You did?
I did a cruise ship.
How long?
As a kid.
No, what show did you do?
I went and got a cruise when I was a kid. My family. No, I never did a cruise.
No, ride. I cruised. My senior class trip was on a cruise, and I was like, I will never do this again.
Oh my God. I love that you knew that as a senior. I would have been like, this is the greatest. We can drink, we can eat.
No, I love the fun part of the cruise, and I'm very social, as we all know, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I love talking to strangers and like meeting new people, and I end up getting numbers and friends.
Making friends.
So that part's great. It's getting to the port and then enjoying the town and then knowing that you have to return back to the boat.
Yeah.
It pisses me off.
Well, you have the same internal clock. You have anxiety.
I can't enjoy it. I got to get back to the boat. Time is it?
But that's us. That's just who we are as people and how we're wired.
Yeah. I just.
Some people have like no problem with that and they come back like maybe 10 minutes late and they're not stressed about it at all. I'd be like, okay.
But it's also like if I'm enjoying myself and it's like salmon, you know. San Juan or whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, I love it here. I want to, and I meet locals. I want to hang out. I'm like, I gotta go. Sorry, you know, it would piss me off.
My friend Kara,
go ahead,
did cruise ships when she was really young. You know, she went out to New York. She was auditioning. She was broke. She ended up getting a cruise ship. She's like, this is gonna be the greatest thing ever because I'll be on the ship for 6 months.
Save money.
Yeah, and when you're young, you go on. You sing. You work like a couple nights a week. You basically enjoy a cruise ship life. You sing and you make money.
Out with
and
your
you don't
members.
Have to pay rent, and so you save up your money. Well, it was like of Europe. So they were all over Europe and the Mediterranean and seeing places, and they could get off the ship if they didn't have a show that night. So she and a bunch of her friends that were like three or four of them got off the ship and decided to go take like a tour of Italy somewhere and go wine tasting. Long story short, they end up all getting drunk. They don't make it back to the ship. The ship leaves without them.
Oh my God.
And they now have to get to the next port and get back on the ship, or they're like, that's it, you're fired. Because they were never supposed to
be
off the ship anyway.
I think the base, like, prerequisite is you have to stay on the ship.
Yeah. So she's like, it ended up being like hellacious. They had to hire someone to drive them through the hills of Italy.
Oh my God.
It cost so much money.
Oh my God.
By the time they got to the next port, it was like 4 a.m. and they had to wait until the cruise ship docked. They ended up finding like beach chairs at a hotel and old towels. And just, that's how they were like sleeping on the beach chairs. She's like, it went from being the greatest thing ever to like the absolute nightmare.
More importantly, are you watching 90 Day Fiancé?
No.
Oh my God.
No, I do the Bachelor franchise.
You have to watch 90 Day Fiancé.
We have to talk about Atlanta real quick.
Oh, Atlanta, okay.
And Jersey, and you tell me how promising. Okay,
Jersey is going to be fucking
lit.
Crazy. They've added like a...
Jackie and Jen.
And one's like...
Jewish,
but she looks... I think she's... Is she like Middle Eastern?
One is Turkish,
okay.
And one is a Jewish Italian.
Because they go to Turkey at some point during the trip. Okay, and they were all trying to do our Arab sounds, which I was like, you can't do it.
And it was racist. It was, but that's okay because we weren't coming from that place.
Right.
By the way, I just looked at my daughter who is in the other room playing, and I said, "Did you eat that other pop?" She's like, "Yeah." And I went up and looked in the bag. Sure enough, it was gone. I looked at her. I said, that wasn't for you. And she looked up at me and gave me the smile. And was like, oh, well.
That's their job. Test those boundaries. Those toddlers.
Meanwhile, my other one is laying next to us.
Looks like a doll.
He is just,
an
looks
angel.
Like, he looks like
sucking
a fake
on his
baby.
Bottom left.
Well, I practically
can't.
Delivered the baby.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so I want to talk about your movie.
Okay, so you guys, my dream. I'm not kidding. I always wanted to do your podcast. It was a dream. When you asked me, I was so excited. And my other dream, and this is also a dream, and by the way, that is not BS. That's a real story. I appreciated how you told Joey Fatone that casted is not a word.
Casted.
I really enjoyed that.
I laughed so hard at that.
And by the way,
it makes me fucking nuts.
No, what about the word conversate? But here's the thing. People say conversate as opposed to converse, but let me just say something. The joke is on us because for purists, that is language. It changes, and that's what language is.
Casted
so
is casted, still not a word, though.
But it will be.
I guess.
If enough people use it, then it's a word. But anyway, I die, and I love you. So my other dream was to be in a Christmas movie, one of those cheesy holiday movies.
Yes.
My dream. My manager called me and said, your dreams have come true. And they did. And I did. It's called A Christmas Switch. It's on the Up Network. You can find it. It's on DirecTV, Comcast.
It's airing already?
It started airing last week. It'll be playing through the holidays. It's me and Ashley Wood. We switch bodies. I am singing waitress at an Italian restaurant, and she's a record exec, you guys. It's so funny.
Oh, my
and
God.
So you become the executive?
So the great part is, yes, I'm the nice, sweet sort of character, and then I get to play the B for the majority of the movie, which is really fun.
We can cuss her here.
I know. I like saying the B. And it's Brian Herzlinger directed it, and he's wonderful, and Mar Vista produced it, and I love this movie, and I'm actually proud of it. I was, you know, very nervous, and I was sweating profusely when I first watched it. Do you know how that is? When you're just sweating, like, oh God. But I'm really proud of it, and it's really cute.
And you get to sing in it.
I sing in it. And
that's awesome.
Did you shoot it here in LA?
I did. We shot a Christmas movie in July. It was 115 degrees.
Oh my God.
They had to CGI the sweat off my face.
Oh, I can't imagine.
It was insane. He said,
how many weeks did you work on it?
It was 3 weeks.
Great.
And it's so cute. A Christmas Witch. If anyone is,
everyone's going to watch it. We're going to watch it and then we're going to critique it.
You need wine. You need wine. You need more wine. And then you need some tequila and you need friends and you can just.
And is Up happy with it?
They are totally happy with it. It's got a great response. And I had a bunch of girlfriends that did a screening and they brought Bingo for she found all these tropes for Christmas movies. Oh, and we played Bingo and it was legit. A lot of the tropes were in the movie. But it was really fun.
That's awesome.
My favorite thing out of all of it is that it's Jackie Seiden, the little Jewish girl from Chicago.
Yes, ma'am.
Gets to be in a Christmas movie on the Up Network, which is a Christian channel. Everything about that.
Oh, it is
amazing.
Uplifting television. Yes. Yeah. I gave everyone for the wrap gift. I gave them all
menorahs.
Close. Yes. Some people. I got them Hanukkah ornaments.
Yes.
Oh, yes. So yes, some were menorahs. Some were Stars of David. Yeah.
Did you audition for it or?
No, I didn't.
You got an offer.
I did.
That's so even better. Nice.
It was, you guys, it was a dream come true. That's I don't know incredible. How else to say it. It was literally the best thing that ever happened in my life.
That's
I love it.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see it.
I can't wait for the sequel.
I love Christmas.
Did they leave it so there could be a sequel?
Yes, but
Christmas switch back.
Christmas, we're stuck.
Can you imagine? I was going to say, can you imagine? So it's like, you guys, we don't ever switch back. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what happens, but it doesn't matter. It's so fun. It doesn't come down to the last second.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Was there any drama on set?
Only the heat. It was us against the heat.
Yeah.
It really was. And that was dramatic. So we had a common enemy, which really brought us all together.
What was the Crafty like?
So good. And they all knew I was gluten-free, which is so high maintenance. Sorry, guys. And they had all the food on set, on the actual set.
Tell me about this gluten-free thing.
I have 2 autoimmune disorders.
Okay, hold on a second. No, I'm curious. Because as a kid, before the whole gluten-free.
This is not an LA gluten-free. I'm just going to tell you real quick.
No, I believe you. I'm just trying to figure out in my head.
Yeah.
What did people do before we knew what gluten-free was?
People have had problems and don't know how to solve them.
They were just like, well, I guess I'm always
bloated. I think I'm gluten-free too.
I bet you are if you got your blood taken and you got tested, maybe.
I have.
For me, if I eat gluten, my antibodies spike. And that means my thyroid then goes into a more self-attacking mode. So I really can't have it. But when I go to a restaurant and I say I'm gluten-free, I always say, I'm not LA gluten-free.
No, because my neighbor of the... where the crime scene was of
no
my
offense
mouth.
To any LA gluten-free people. Good for you.
The neighbor 2 doors down, her name is Sarah. She texts me, and I have a picture of this too. She texts me one morning and she goes, are you at the apartment? And I'm like, yeah. And she was like, can you help me? And I'm like, what? She goes, my daughter hasn't eaten all morning and I am throwing up everywhere.
Oh no.
And I said, yeah, I'll come. I go, I'll come. Do you want me to come make her breakfast? She's like, please. And her daughter is like she's like 2 or 3 years old. Sweet. Her name is, I don't want to say her name, but, so anyways, she was like bedridden throwing up. And I was like, what is wrong with you? She's like, I'm gluten free. And she had gluten.
Oh,
and she
no.
was so
she's
sick.
Celiac.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
that's
what
Katie
Nunez is.
That's another level.
So yeah, I like bad. Literally really fed bad. Her daughter and like went and got Pedialyte for
scary.
Her and then, you know.
God, you're like a saint when you're not at this house.
You're a good person.
I am a good person.
Okay, last question. Yes. So you have to go. Tell me in a couple sentences, Clint Eastwood.
Oh.
I mean, worked on Jersey Boys, the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was that the most, was that just amazing?
It's crazy. All of, how do I say this? Do you ever hear that he's had that reputation for being a 2-take?
Yes.
Yes.
That's real.
Okay.
If you don't get in 2 takes, that he...
If you watch the movie, you'll see in the angel scene, we're all singing. Yeah. My arm gets caught in the scarf.
Uh-huh.
It's just in the movie.
He's just like, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, it's fine. It's good.
Moves on. There was very, he's very sweet and very, you're very free to do what you want. Although a lot of people that had done Jersey Boys, we had done it. And so we were already set in how our performance is kind of. But, so I will say that I've worked with some greats, like Twyla Tharp, Bob Dylan,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and some of they all have in common. So everybody's sort of super, super socially awkward and can't really put a sentence together. And there's a lot of yeah. and you're
it.
You're my hero and you can't
Look
put a sentence
eye.
Together.
No, I believe
yeah.
it.
And shake my hand. It's very they're geniuses, and it's very
It's sort of a form of, without saying this, but saying it, like a form of autism in a sense, where it's like
some part of the brain is so highly developed and creative, and then there's that other aspect that is not, and it's interesting. And Clint Eastwood wasn't as severe as the other two. He's really nice. He just probably didn't care. but he was, it was fun. It was cool. It was cool to just be in his presence. Yeah. And well, he's no Gary Marshall.
Well, I mean, nobody is. Nobody was. Nobody's like him.
You guys, this was the best.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for inviting me. Seriously. Oh,
you'll come back. Are you kidding? We'll do.
Dream.
One every season, we'll do a housewife recap with me, you, and then
yeah, we should. And we'll, yes, just do housewives.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're not gonna do.
You guys, it's just housewives. That's it. If you're interested in anything else, you should tune out.
They know. They know I love housewives, and they know. And by the way, we're listening to the NXIVM podcast.
Oh, we gotta talk.
And
about
we're gonna
that.
Talk about that another time.
Yeah. Okay, tell us where we can find you on the social.
Oh, I'm the Jackie Seiden at Instagram. I was Jackie Seiden, but then I deleted my account. It turns out that you can't get the name back after you do that.
What?
Yeah, so don't delete your account and start over. Ooh. So the Jackie Seiden, unless there's a publicist that can help me get it back, and Jackie Seiden on Twitter and everything else.
And don't forget Christmas Switch on Up, and also tune in to see Single Parents. What's your character's name?
Jackie.
Amazing.
She's a bitch,
life
you guys.
Was written for you.
On ABC, yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. Congrats on your directing debut.
Thank you so much.
And I'm gonna give to your fund. We're gonna get those.
It's gofundme.com/Alaa's New Grill.
All right. I'm Christine Lakin. You can find me on the social at Yo Lakin.
You know how to find me at gofundme.com/Alaa's New Grill.
A-L-A-A-S. Don't listen.
N-E-W-G-R-I-L-L.
People know how to spell New Grill. Buy some merch at worsteverpodcast.com.
Forget the merch, save the money, and donate too.
You can email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com.
I'm serious. Goodbye.